Amen, church. How many of us are living based upon the precious promises of Jesus Christ? A lot of us have come in contact with people that make promises and they break promises. Who knows, some of us might have made some promises and had to break those promises. But Jesus is one, when he makes a promise, he is going to come through without fail, without question. We thank the Lord for being here on today. We thank the Lord for health, life, breath, and strength. We thank you for all of your smiling faces, brothers and sisters in Christ, visitors, family members. We thank you for being here on today, and we thank the Lord for placing it upon your hearts to be here this morning. I thank the Lord for bringing me here this morning. I look forward to this every week. I don't know about you, being with the saints of God. And I like it even better when I wake up and I'm in my right mind. Makes it a lot better. And that's something else to be thankful for. So on today, we want to make a slight change from what we have been talking about. However, it is related to what we've been talking about in the past weeks. Talking about the tongue and the dangers of the tongue. And sometimes, many of you might know, I don't know, before you speak, you might want to think a little bit. You might want to use some wisdom before you speak. Because as we learn, that tongue, and it's not the member so much as it is that which comes out of the heart. Because out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, what the mouth speaks. The tongue and the mouth and the lips just are tools, right? To convey what is in the heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? So what we want to talk about now is how do we control the tongue? And that is by using the wisdom of God. We have to be wise in our speech. We have to be wise in our actions, wise in our thoughts and our deeds. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to let you sit down because I know you've been standing for a while. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this yet another day. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for all that you have done for us on this day. We ask right now that you would bless each and every one of us, Lord, as we now get into your word. Lord God, we ask that your Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would open up our hearts and our minds, that we might understand, that we might know, Lord God, that we might be wise in our speech and our thoughts, our actions, Lord God, our deeds. We ask now in the name of Jesus that you would touch our hearts, that we might be receptive to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to each and every one of us. Lord, we ask now in the name of Jesus that your word would go forth, that it would accomplish that which you have purposed and not return void. These favors and these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Sister Andy. she said amen on that one. Have you standing too long? She needs to sit down. That's all right. All right. Hopefully I will not be standing before you long. Since we had four songs today, I want to be obedient to our time. We're talking about the wisdom from above. Yes, yes. When you're talking about the wisdom from above, it automatically makes me think about, well, if we're talking about the wisdom from above, there must be some other wisdom that come from below, right? And a lot of times we focus a lot on that wisdom that comes from below. We get all of our information from TikTok, from Instagram. Some people might even still be on Facebook. I don't know. Twitter. We get all of our information and our wisdom from that because, you know, that's a place of information. That's a place of conversation. That is a place where we can bounce ideas off of each other, right? But Jesus said something to his disciples in regards to the Pharisees, and he said that they are blind guides leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what happens to them both? They both fall into the ditch. I don't think you want to find yourself in a ditch, do you? Huh? A ditch is not a good place to be. When I say a ditch, I'm not talking about that little one maybe outside your house that dips down about a foot that you can easily climb out. I'm talking about a pit, right? One that if you fall into it, that is the beginning of a bad day for you because you will not be getting out of there unless someone comes to help you get out. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. God wants us to be wise. He wants us to have the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is one that comes from the Word of God. If we look at James chapter 1, which we... We look at James chapter 1. Chapter 1 of James is a chapter that kind of gives you an outline of what it is that he is going to be talking about throughout the entirety of his letter, this book of James. And if we look at James chapter 1, in verse 5, it tells us that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if you feel like you are lacking wisdom, you only need ask God, and he will give you the wisdom that you need. Now, when I say he will give it to you, I don't mean he'll just like touch your head and by osmosis you'll be wise, right? Because not everybody can do like Solomon and ask God for wisdom, and then God gives him wisdom. But even with that, Solomon learned wisdom. You don't get wisdom, you learn wisdom. It is something that is imparted to you over time. It's kind of like patience. You don't ask God for patience. He puts you in circumstances and situations that help you to learn patience, right? So be careful about asking about patience. I did that when I was 18, and I'm still trying to learn. And God is one who is putting me in circumstances and situations so that I might learn patience. I'm going to read for you James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And we're going to try to get through these verses in a reasonable amount of time. That word reasonable is going to come up in our message on today. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, It says here, who among you is wise and understanding? He starts out with a question. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So, as I said before, there is a proclivity for people to get their information from various sources. There is this tendency for people to get their information from sources, a lot of times, that agree with their perspectives and their views, right? In modern day, that is called an echo chamber, right? You say something and it bounces off the wall and it comes back to you the same way. And it's like, oh, wow, somebody believes the same thing I believe. No, that's just your echo bouncing off the wall, right? But people have this mindset that is the same. And if you find yourself in an echo chamber, you won't learn anything new, will you? You have to be able to listen outside of your comfort zone, listen outside of your scope of knowledge in order to learn anything. With that being said, you have to be careful who you listen to. You have to be careful of what passes for some as wisdom is not wisdom at all. It might be knowledge, but it's not wisdom. And what we want to focus on today is the wisdom that comes from above. We have to be careful about getting all of our information from TikTok, right? From Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, right? Because a lot of times what you will find is that even though these people may have some degrees, they might have some letters after their names. Back in the day when I was growing up, they used to refer to these people as educated fools. Because a lot of these people are educated, but they don't believe in God, do they? And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we want to make sure that if we are going to get information and wisdom and knowledge from anyone, we need to check their credentials. And I don't mean how many degrees do they have, but have they been on their knees before a sovereign God? Do they know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, right? Do they have a personal relationship with God? And not have they spent time with their face in Facebook, but have they spent some time with their face in the Word of God, right? We need to understand that these people are the ones that have spent some time on their knees. They have prayed. They have studied the Word of God, and they are the ones who are going to be able to impart true wisdom and knowledge to you. Now, this is the tricky part. Aside from maybe coming to church on Sunday in your regular circles at work and at school and at play and whatever you do, these people may be few and far between, but when you find one, you need to hold on to them, and you need to treat them like iron sharpens iron, right? You can be there for them, and they can be there for you. Maybe have a prayer with them. Maybe do a little Bible study with them if you can throughout the week, and this helps both of you. So knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom, and wisdom is not just knowledge. True wisdom comes from God through his word, which is truth. Jesus said that. And the application of that truth in our daily lives, in our daily living, by faith in the one who gave it. Who is that? That's God gave it to us, right? And it's to and we're supposed to exercise and practice that wisdom on a daily basis. Exercise requires work, doesn't it? Is that right? Practice requires time, right? And work, right? If you want to get good at something, you practice it. You spend some time doing it, and you exercise yourself so that you are able to do it more effectively, more efficiently, and more frequently. It's the same thing with wisdom. We need to exercise wisdom. James in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 said, "But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But," here's the qualifier, "he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." If you're unstable in your ways, you might want to check and see if you're double-minded. God don't want you to be double-minded. He wants you to be single-minded. And the only way to be single-minded is to have your mind transformed. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as a result of your mind being transformed, you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will begin to act like Christ. You will begin to talk like Christ. You will begin to sound like Christ, and your speech will betray you. You'll be like the Apostle Peter, right? Or then the disciple Peter, who was warming himself around the enemy's campfire. They looked at him, they heard him talk, and he said, "You sound like one of Jesus' disciples. Your speech betrays you," right? Even after he denied knowing Christ, he continued to speak, and he spoke, and when he spoke like Jesus. Even though he was trying to deny him, he still spoke like Jesus. So Jesus did something. Jesus rubbed off on him. Has Jesus rubbed off on you? Has Jesus rubbed off on you so much so that people can see Jesus in your speech, where they can see Jesus in your actions, right? Huh? You even smell like Jesus, right? Right? You can't deny it. You've been around Jesus so much that you cannot deny it, because the light of Christ is shining from you. This is where we should desire to be, to get to a place where when people see us, they see the Christ that is in us. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." We came to faith in Christ by what? By hearing. And what did we hear? We didn't just hear some words off of Facebook. We didn't just hear some words from Instagram or Twitter. We heard the Word of God. And the Word of God is that which makes the difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of everyone. If we want to make a difference in this world, we don't just take and shake our fist at the darkness, but we should be a light in the midst of darkness, right? If you want to dispel the light, don't shake your fist at it. Turn some lights on, right? And the light will do what? It will be dispelled, right? If you're tired of hell being all up inside of your house, then shine some light inside of your house, right? If you're tired of it being in your job, that was a Freudian slip, in your jail, right? Your job, in that cubicle, right? Right behind that computer, maybe. That is something that can be done if you share the Word of God with those in the workplace, right? I don't mean to the point where you're disruptive, but do like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He spoke to one person at a time, aside and apart from the 5,000 men plus women and children on two occasions. He went from village to village, from town to town, and he had encounters that we know about, whether it was Bartimaeus, right? Whether it was Zacchaeus in the tree, was it the woman at the well, right? Whether it was the woman with the issue of blood, you can go down the list. The man who was in the tombs, right? All kinds of individuals that he came in contact with who had various needs, right? God has, by his divine providence, put those individuals into your life, and he does that on a daily basis. So what do we have to do? We have to have our eyes open so we can be what? Aware of those opportunities. And the thing that we have to stress about opportunities is that opportunities can pass you by, can't they, right? You might see an opportunity coming, right? But if you sit there and think about it, should I grab that opportunity or not? Should I reach out and grab? No, it's too late now because that opportunity has moved on, right? And now you've missed an opportunity. What are you left with when you miss an opportunity? Something that is very terrible, something that is in hell for all eternity, and that is what? Regret. Regret is something you can't shake, right? Regret is wishing that you had a reset button to push and go back and do it over again. But now it is too late, right? You have to wait for another opportunity. Sometimes God is gracious. Sometimes he's merciful. And he'll do what? Give you another opportunity to fix something that you didn't fix when it came by the first time, right? What I'm talking about is sharing the wisdom of God with others. Don't say, well, you know, I think I'll talk to him next week. I'll talk to them next month. Maybe next time we see them at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, right? I'll talk to them then. And then you find out between now and then what happened. They ran out of time. And guess what? You ran out of time too. And now that person has gone into eternity and you said, well, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next time. It's an opportunity that has been missed. So when somebody asks you to pray for them, don't say, brother, I pray for you. Say, brother, let's pray right now. Right? And I don't care if you're in front of their house. Now, don't stand in the street because you both need some prayer then. Okay? Get out the street first, right? Maybe get up on the sidewalk, right, away from the street, and then pray, right? But I've been known to see people, and I smile when I see it, in the middle of an ER, standing up, praying. They don't care about all these people around. Standing in the front yard of somebody's house, right? On the porch, praying, right? Even at work, grab somebody's hand, right? And say, don't say, let's go into this closet over here and close the door. What are you doing that for? Huh? Pray. I don't know why I went down that road, but yes, I do. Because we need to hear it. We need to hear it. So this hearing is the hearing, right, that they get from the Word of God. And how in the world are they going to hear the Word of God when they don't even own a Bible? You might be the only Bible that they ever see. You are a living epistle, right? That's a letter from the Lord, right? And the only one that they might see today or this week or this month. And that's an opportunity, isn't it? And you need to let that light shine, right? Don't cover it up with a basket, right? Don't put it under the bed, right? Huh? But you need to let it shine. And then when you do that, they'll ask questions. And you know what you need to do? You need to be ready to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you. With what? With love and with respect. With an
with an end to do what? To reach them and not what? Repel them. This should be our goal. That was the introduction. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm just messing with you. I'm just playing. The evidence of wisdom and understanding. Verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and gentleness of wisdom. James in 3 and 1 speaks to those who tell, who teach, or those who would teach regarding the content of their speech. So what he's saying is what they say, right? He's saying be careful of what you say. We just finished a series on being careful about how you speak and what you say. Because with those teachers, there's going to be a higher degree of accountability for them if they mislead someone. We don't want to give somebody wrong information, or today, as we call it, misinformation or disinformation. And the worst of all is malinformation, right, where you give somebody bad information with a nefarious intent, right? We don't want to do that. We're not trying to deceive people. We want to tell them the truth, because the truth ultimately will set them free once they what? Know it. And you shall know the set you free, right? And who is the truth? Jesus said, his word is the truth, right? He's the truth. So what we see in these verses that we're discussing today is, whereas in James 3:13 is addressing the same crowd and all of us in general, but he speaks about the content of their speech, the content of their character, and how they live, right? Because you can have the right message but have a jacked up life. And what will happen? People will look at your life and say, he's a hypocrite. I'm not listening to what he's saying, right? Huh? He's not living it. He out here preaching it and spouting it and telling me this is what I should do, and I'm watching him, and he's doing the exact opposite. That's a hypocrite, right? And nobody likes a hypocrite, right? It's kind of like a salesman who comes to your door and says, you know what, I got the greatest cleaner ever made, right? And it cleans this and it cleans that. You can put it on the concrete and it'll clean the oil spot. You can put it on your clothes and it'll clean the grass and the blood stain. See? And they say, wow, that's awesome. And then they ask you, how long you been using it? Oh, I don't use that. I use something else. Well, what are you selling this for? Right? You use something else. What do you mean you use something else? That's akin to you saying, you know, you preaching the Bible, but then you say, no, I'm a Buddhist. Right? Huh? I'm into Hinduism, right? Right? I'm an atheist, but I'm out here preaching the gospel message. It just don't match, does it? Right? No, and they can't. You know, and this is the thing. The word of God is so powerful that even if you have a preacher, a pastor, dare I say, who is dead in trespasses and sins, not saved, and he's up here preaching from the word of God, he might not say, but the words that he preaches could save you. Why? Because it's the truth. It's the word of God. And it's quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Huh? It pierces to the dividing asunder of the joint and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It does all of that. And guess what? I'm not ashamed of it. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek, to the non-Jew, right? That is what the gospel message can do in and of itself, regardless of the messenger, right? So don't necessarily get so intent on who the messenger is, because I imagine John the Baptist didn't look too cool, right? Running around, huh? Out there in the wilderness with camel's hair on. Huh? Hair probably all long and scraggly. Huh? He got pieces of locust in his teeth and everything. He got honey dripping down his beard and all this kind of stuff. He probably didn't look like the most reputable person to listen to. But guess what? People were repenting. Huh? They were repenting and getting baptized, right? And he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, pointing to another who was greater than he, one who he was not even worthy to unlatch his sandals on his feet, right? The word of God is powerful. It's powerful. But it comes from above, and it does not come from below. So he's asking this question. If you're wise, who among you is wise? If you say you're wise, you're going to let it show by your good behavior and your deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Wisdom. Not just wisdom, but understanding. Knowing what the word of God says and understanding it, right? Having a behavior that matches with that wisdom, with that conduct, right? And you do it not using the word of God like a billy club, right? Or a battle axe, right? Or a sledgehammer where you leaving people maimed everywhere. You done broke ankles. You done broke kneecaps, right? You done chopped people's legs and arms off with a battle axe using the word like it's a, you know, like it's some kind of a weapon of war that is designed to just maim you, right? That's not what the word of God is. It is a sword, though, right? It's a sword. And that sword is one that is used as an offensive weapon against the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness reside in those who are dead and trespasses and sins, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, right? The only way you can get any progress with that individual is to shine some light on them. And how you do that? With the word of God. We use Jesus Christ as our example. When he was in the wilderness being tested by Satan, he didn't say, well, Satan, you know what I think you should do? I think you need to just get on behind me. I think you just need to go on and mess with somebody else. Huh? No, he didn't do that. He said, it is written, right? He said it three times that we know of, right? But he was out there for 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, we don't know what all he said, right? Right? We don't know all of what. But we do know that he did say, when Satan told him, why don't you just turn this rock over here into some bread? What did he say? Not so. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? Right? He said, okay, I'm going to take you up to this high place over here. You want to use the word on me like that? How about you throw yourself down? Because the word of God says that he has given his angels charge over you and will not allow you to dash your foot against the stone. Throw down yourself and let's put God to the test. And what did Jesus say? It is written, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. How many of us test God? Do we test God's patience, his long suffering, his kindness, his mercy, his grace? Huh? We test it all on a daily basis, right? But thanks be to God, he doesn't run out, right? He won't run away, huh? He will not do that. But guess what? It's a limited time offer because it's once and appointed for a man to die, and then after that, judgment. Judgment. The thing is that we don't know how many days we have, do we? So we need to live each day like it's our last, right? We need to live every day like it's our last and do what God said to do, right? Who is wise? Let him show by his good conduct. So wisdom is not just mere head knowledge. Real wisdom and understanding will show in a person's life through their good behavior. Their conduct is characterized by the gentleness of wisdom. James is telling his reader that wisdom and understanding are not just mere internal, unseen qualities that one has, but instead that if a person truly has them, they should be evident in their daily living. It's kind of like saying, I love you, right? Well, how do you know somebody loves you? By what they do, how they show it, how they express it, right? You can say, I love you all day long, right? We just got done learning about faith. Yeah, I got faith. I got faith, all kinds of faith. Well, you say you got faith. I'm going to show you my faith by my works, right? By what I do, right? I'm going to ask God to do this thing, and then I'm not going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and wait for him to drop it in my lap, but I'm going to be active and go out there and do what I can and let God bless something. Give God something to bless, right? I'm not going to sit on my backside, right, waiting for God to drop something in my lap and say, I have faith. I am going to put it in action. So love is an action word. Show me, right? Faith is what? An action word, right? Show me, right? Wisdom is an action word. Show me your wisdom by what? By your deeds, by your actions, by your conduct, right? Show me that you're wise, all right? Their conduct is characterized by this gentleness of wisdom. The evidence of wisdom and understanding. John makes a similar case for true love, which is not just an invisible inner quality or emotion, but instead something that should be displayed and readily seen by those around us as they observe our daily lives and conduct. In 1 John 3:16 through 18, he says, we know love by this. This is how you know love, right? That he laid down his life for us. Jesus loves us. He didn't just say, well, he loved the world. But what did he do? God so loved the world that he did something. What did he do? He gave something. Did he just give anything? No, he gave his only son. Huh? Why did he do it? That whosoever should believe upon him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. He put that love into action. And the same thing in 1 John 3:16, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to do what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. And that means to the ultimate, too, right? It's not just figurative, right? Well, I'm going to give up my prerogatives. I'm going to prefer my brother above myself. Yes, that's important. That's what you need to do. But greater love hath no man than this, that a man should do what? Lay down his life for a friend. Can you show love for somebody in a greater way than that? No, you cannot. Because after you don't have life here on this earth, the only you don't have nothing on this earth, right? You just have eternal life. You have the life with God. To be to live is Christ, but to die is gain, right? That's what we look forward to. Not death so much, but being with the Lord. In that 1 John 3:17, he says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? You see the man has a need. You have the ability to meet that need, but you don't do anything, right? So in other words, you're not putting love in action. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Deed and truth. It's not enough to say you love someone. You must demonstrate it by your actions and deeds, your practice and your conduct. It's not enough to have knowledge or say you have wisdom. You must demonstrate that you have knowledge by wisely applying it in your daily life, in actions and deeds that you perform, your practice and your conduct. So when we get to verse 14, it talks about the wisdom from above, and the difference between the wisdom from below or below and the wisdom above. So this is the wisdom from below. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This is a stark contrast from verse 13, which is the wisdom that comes from above. Verse 15 says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, natural, and demonic. As I was reading this and studying it, I saw some correlation there. It said earthly, natural, or sensual is in the King James Version, okay? And then demonic. And when you break that down, you're talking about earthly, which is what? The world. Natural or sensual is what? The flesh. And demonic is what? The devil. You have the unholy trinity right there. Earthly, natural, and demonic. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Right up in there. In this verse, when it comes to wisdom and that wisdom that comes from below, the wisdom that comes from below is something that is worldly. It is fleshly and it is of the devil. It is demonic. And I would dare say that a lot of what we get on social media is not from God. It's not from God. It's from the world. It's from the flesh and it's from the devil. Anybody ever heard garbage in, garbage out? Huh? If you put an input, what do you think the output is going to be? Those of you that want to talk in computer terms, huh? Input, output, right? Energy. When you input a certain amount of energy, what you going to get? You're going to get an output, right? We cannot think that wisdom is any different, right? You can have a car like a BMW that has to have high octane, and you can put that regular in there if you want to. Some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. It'll be sputtering and spitting and carrying on, right? You can try to put some of that regular oil in there, That's not going to do it either. You got that. See, BMW, they got to have a special kind of gas and a special kind of oil, right? And it's none of that cheap stuff, right? If you done bought that, then you need to know that you done invested some money into the whole upkeep of that car, right? Gas and oil, right? With a Christian, though, right? What's supposed to be going into you? Huh? None of that 93 octane stuff, right? You got to have the premium going in. Otherwise, you're going to be spitting and sputtering, right? You're not going to function and perform the way God wants you to function and perform, right? Huh? You understand? You are a lively stone, right? You are a royal priesthood. You are one who has been bought with a price, and that price is the Son of the living God and his shed blood. We should conduct ourselves in such a way that represents who we are, but also whose we are, right? We have been bought with a price, right? So we cannot be taking in that stuff that's earthly, that stuff that is natural or sensual, that stuff that is demonic, right? Because we're not going to function right. That's not the way God designed us. We are the king's kids, and we should act like it, right? Verse 16, for wherever jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder and every evil thing. God is not the author of confusion, but sometimes you find all kinds of confusion up in the church. Guess what? Jesus didn't bring it in here. The Holy Spirit didn't bring it in here. God didn't bring that in here. You brought that spirit in here, right? And you need to take it right on back out of here, right? Take it right back on out of here. We need to understand that if we put garbage in, that is what is going to come out, and you can't control when it's going to come out. It might come out at church. And like I said earlier, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's in somebody's heart, just listen to them talk for a few minutes, and you will find out what's in their heart, right? Because their mouth, their speech, right, will betray them. And they can say, I'm a this and I'm a that. You're going to find out they ain't neither one of them. They something else, right? A hot mess, right? So this is the fruit of human earthly wisdom. The wisdom of the world, the flesh, and the devil may be able to accomplish things, but always with the ultimate fruit of disorder, confusion, and every evil thing. All that stuff that you might be taking in from the world, the flesh, and the devil, it will result in nothing other than the fruit of disorder. You're wondering, why do I have so much disorder in my life? Well, there you go. There's the fruit. That's the fruit that's coming up from what? That worldly wisdom. Why is there so much confusion in my house? Well, that's the fruit of what? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And every evil thing. Every evil thing. Now, some might say, well, it's because I'm so spiritual. And because the devil is threatened by me and all of my holiness and my sanctifiedness, right? How I've been set apart. And I'm a target for him. And that's why he's bringing all this calamity into my house and into my life. Huh? So you Job now, right? Is that it? You think God said to Satan, have you considered my servant? Insert your name, right? Huh? Didn't do nothing wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong. I'm the most righteous one in my house. Right? You don't want to lie, right? So you say in my house, maybe. But the thing is that we have to be careful. I don't care who we are, of what we allow to come in, because those things are the things that are going to come forth from us. It's not that which goes into the body that defiles a person. It is that which comes out, right? Huh? That defiles the person. And when Jesus said that, he wasn't talking about sweat. He wasn't talking about any other bodily fluids that might come out. He was talking about speech, coming out of your mouth. That is what defiles a person. Its origin, this worldly wisdom, is from the author of confusion. And we know that that is the devil. The wisdom from above, verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. It's pure. This wisdom is pure. This is wisdom characterized by spiritual integrity and moral sincerity. For the Christian, pure wisdom is what motivates their every step, action, word, and thought. Now, that's a high order, isn't it? But how do you get good at something? You practice it, right? Sometimes we say, well, I'm never going to get to be good at it. You won't with that attitude. You got to practice it, right? Do you really desire to have this wisdom that is from above, that is first pure? Does it come from a place of sincerity? Do you really, really want it? Do you want to be a moral person? Some people don't want to be a moral person because they like to dibble and dabble in a little of this and a little of that, right? They like to sin that grace may abound. Huh? They like to continue to sin so that grace may abound, right? That it may continue, right? Well, I mean, we all need a little grace and mercy, right? Let me give God something to be merciful and gracious to me about. No, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that you do that you don't even know about that you did, right? That is expending that grace and mercy, right? Don't go out there intentionally and do stuff so that grace may abound. That is not what God would have us to do. The peaceable Christian is one who is peace-loving. Do you love peace? Also, peace-promoting. Do you promote peace? When you see something going on that has nothing to do with peace, do you try to promote peace, or do you get your cell phone out and take a video of it and then post it? Look at these two fools fighting. Huh? Oh, she look at this woman. She cussing that kid out. What is wrong with her? And then you up here filming. So you can put it on your page, right? And share it with everybody. Instead of saying, you know what? Hold on, right? Mom, I know you're upset. I saw the whole thing, right? Right? Can I help you, right? Do something to try to help the situation. She juggling one kid here, got a grocery bag, and the other one running out to, can I help you get to the car, right? You know, maybe that'll stop her from cussing at the kid, right? And almost dropping the other kid and dropping the groceries all. Be a peacemaker. Promote peace, right? But don't be the one that's standing out there, look at this woman right here, taking a picture, videoing it, right? And then you can't wait to get to the car so you can get down and get it posted. And then all the likes come in, right? Huh? Before you even get home. That's not one who is spreading or promoting peace, right? That is not one who is a peacemaker, right? A peace lover, right? We want to be a peace lover. Gentle is a difficult word to translate here from the original, but it is a character trait of what is called sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. According to the late John MacArthur, who just recently went on Home to Glory last week, such person will submit to all kinds of mistreatment and difficulty with an attitude of kind, courteous, patient humility without any thought of hatred or revenge. That's what sweet reasonableness is. Okay? A person that will submit to all kinds of mistreatment and difficulty with an attitude of kind, courteous, patient humility without any thought of hatred or revenge. So this gives us all something to strive for, does it not? That's a high bar, isn't it? This attitude will cause you to yield to another. Right? Yield to another. Even when you have the right of way, such as at a road intersection, right? Thank you, Sister Kristen, for that this morning. The idea of being willing to yield to someone else. Yeah, you may have the right of way. Yeah, you got to the four-way stop first, and you might be on the right side, and by law, you're supposed to be able to go first, but you say, come on, you go first. Preferring another above yourself, right? Yielding to another. I must say, though, this idea of yielding does not mean compromise or capitulating to that which is evil, right? We need to make sure that if we are going to yield, that we're yielding not to temptation. That's one thing that the scripture tells us that we should not do. Reasonable for believers means obedience to God's standards found in his word, that is, a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your pathway. Mercy, the ability to show concern for those who suffer pain and hardship, and the ability to forgive quickly when wrong. Can we forgive quickly, or does it settle for a little while? Do we have to think about it for a while? Do we got to wait 6 months before we forgive them for what they did, right? I've been praying for 6 months to forgive you, huh? You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is a gift. It is something that is given from one person to another. And this is the thing about a gift. A gift can be received or it can be rejected. Just like Jesus was a gift. He can be received or he can be rejected. Forgiveness is a gift. It is not a requirement that the person can impose. You should forgive me, right? Why? Other than God said to, right? If that person gives it to you, they have given you forgiveness. They have given it to you willingly. And forgiveness is one of those things that's tricky because sometimes I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget, right? When you don't forget, what does that mean? Are you holding on to something? You're holding on to something that is going to impact your relationship with that person, right? I forgive you, but I'm going to have this 10-foot pole every time I see you, and you can stay right at the end of this 10-foot pole. I'm never going to let you close to me again, right? But I forgive you, right? Is that the kind of forgiveness that Jesus demonstrates to us? Does he say, I'm going to forgive you, but you better not even come step in my way when you get to heaven, 10 feet away at all times. I got a restraining order on you. 100 yards. You can't be within 100 yards of me. Huh? Because I remember what you did. Right? I had to forgive you because my father told me I had to. Right? Huh? That's not the kind of forgiveness that God demonstrates, is it? Right? And as his children, we're supposed to act like who? Our father. Right? Right? We should be acting like our father. Now, this might be news to some of y'all, but we're talking about a holy God who never sinned is able to forgive us. And who are we? A whole bunch of sinners saved by grace, by his mercy, right? And we can't muster up enough forgiveness for a fellow sinner. None of us is holy and righteous like God, right? We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? How dare you not forgive somebody whom God forgave? How dare you? Right? I just let that settle with you. I won't preach on it too much. That's a hard one. That's a hard saying, a hard pill to swallow. Right? Good fruits. We find that in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, where it talks about a tree and its fruits, how you know a tree by the fruit that it produces. A good tree is going to bear what? Good fruit. Bad tree is going to bear bad fruit, right? Unwavering. You're going to be unwavering in your character, right? Galatians 6 and 9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season what? You shall reap if you what? Faint not, if you don't lose heart. Also, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, right? In the work of the Lord, knowing that what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord, right? This is that unwavering characteristic, right? And without hypocrisy. Which has with this idea of a consistent, unwavering person who does not vacillate in his commitment to God and conviction to follow the word of God. When you find yourself in a sticky situation and the word of God has been brought to your memory by the Holy Spirit, right? Don't be dismissive of the Holy Spirit or the word, right? Because He is trying to get you to respond to that situation in that circumstance in a godly way. But sometimes the flesh, the flesh can get a hold of you, right? And you want to lash out, right? The world can be cheerleading and pushing you and egging you on, right? And the devil might be on the left shoulder and totally ignoring the Holy Spirit on the right shoulder, right? And he's whispering in your ear, trying to get you to do something out of character. We want to make sure that we are not doing any of this with these things with hypocrisy. Lastly, verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There is a seed planted in those who are saved by God through faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the living, life-giving Holy Spirit. That seed is the word of God, the gospel message, and we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And we are to spread it like seed to the lost in the world. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, listen to this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were making an appeal through us. We beg you. We are begging you. When we stand up here and we share the gospel message, we are begging you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. To be reconciled. To be at peace with God. Right? There are many who think that peace in the Middle East is the most important, or peace between Russia and Ukraine, North and South Korea, Pakistan and India, or the United States and the rest of the world. That's all important. That's fine and good to have peace. But the most important peace that we can have is peace with God. Peace with God. That's Romans 5:1. Being reconciled to God. Okay? The peace that follows that is the peace of God that passes all understanding in Philippians 4:7. Making peace does not mean going along to get along. You ever heard that? Go along to get along? That's not what being peace, a peacemaker is. We do not want to make peace by going along to get along, because that means something. That is capitulation. That is compromise. That is surrendering to the world system, the flesh, and the devil. So what is the important thing that we want to get out of this is that we want to make sure that we have wisdom that comes from above and not that which comes from below. And I think we have enough sense to know the difference, right? When we are getting wisdom from below, we know that ain't of God, but it feels so good. Well, what does it feel so good for? Because the flesh. You still battling against the flesh, right? You've been given victory. You have, Christ has overcome the world, and you have victory through Jesus Christ if you are a child of God. Stand with me if you will this time. We want to invite anyone who maybe does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to get to know him. And we hope that in this message we have somewhat introduced him to you. He wants to know you. He wants to know you so much so that he died for you. And we want to make sure that on today that we not just give you a message, but that we give you an opportunity to respond to that message. We won't have you come up right now, but we do want to let you know that at the end of service, the elders will be at the front, and they will pray with you. They will hear what it is that you have as far as concerns. And if you want to be saved on today, it is as simple as confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. That if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord in faith, right, shall be saved. Shall be saved. That is something that you can have on today. We would ask you to come up and speak with one of the elders. Pray with me at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your patience that you have demonstrated to us. We thank you for your godly wisdom that comes from above. And Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would continue, Lord, to saturate our minds and our hearts and our thoughts, Lord God, with the wisdom that comes from above. Help us, Lord, to find ourselves in prayer. Help us, Lord God, to find ourselves in your word, Lord. And help us to be those living epistles who are learned and read of men, the ambassadors of Christ that you are calling for us to be, Lord God, in these last and evil days. Help us, Lord God, to engage and participate in the ministry of reconciliation, Lord God, for we know that time is winding up. And we ask right now in the name of Jesus that souls would continue to be saved and that the Holy Spirit would add to the church daily such as should be saved. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. All right. I'm going to have